what we're talking about is developing a vaccine. And what we announced last week is really beginning what is a multi-step process. So what's happening now is working with the manufacturers who have just now received what's called the seed virus. So laboratories around the world, including CDC, develop a virus from that's derived from the virus that made patients sick, and they then make that virus into something that companies can then use to develop a vaccine. The same thing they do every year to make our seasonal vaccines.
And so this is a distilled version or diluted version of the virus that actually killed people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how flu vaccines are made all the time. It starts with a virus that we know causes a health problem, and then is developed to then be able to develop a vaccine.
And that really is just builds up the immunity of the body to ward off any possible infection, right?
Exactly. That's the way all vaccines work, by sort of mimicking what a natural infection might do, but in a safer way.
And what kind of testing program is required to make sure this vaccine will not only work but not have some other harm that we don't know about?
Sure, that's actually one of the things that are going on now with part of this announcement. So the manufacturers have now received these seed viruses to begin to then put into their manufacturing systems, as they do with seasonal vaccine. They'll make what are called pilot lots or small scale lots of vaccine that can then be given in a whole range of clinical studies that will begin this summer. And the point of those studies is to determine what kind of a dose people need and whether or not two doses are needed.
So will they test it on people initially, or will maybe test it on, I don't know, even hogs?
No. This is part of what's routinely done with influenza vaccines, is that there's a 50-year history of developing these kind of vaccines. So when they have these initial pilot lots, there's a series of human studies that will be done, and it'll look at different doses, different populations, different numbers of doses. That'll go on over the summer, and that'll inform a decision on what should be in a vaccine, should we need one.
And so how quickly does this get done, or how much time do you need in order to go through all the testing to formulate the vaccine?
No, it's you're right. It's all about time. And the reason we did what we did on Friday, because we knew these strains would now be available so manufacturers could begin to develop these pilot lots. So probably by July, they'll have the material available for these clinical studies, and they're beginning to enroll patients now who will be in these studies to look at, again, the number of doses and the size of each dose. If a two-dose strategy is needed, for example, you'd give a volunteer a dose, and then 3 weeks later give them a second dose, and then measure their antibody levels. So just by that, you can see it's going to take, you know, several weeks to complete the studies and then to do the analysis. We're hopeful that some of the preliminary analysis will be available by early September.
And we're talking to Dr. Bruce Gellin. He's director of the National Vaccine Program at the Office of the Department of Health and Human Services. And in the fall, when the flu season arrives again, what is the data that will tell HHS that we have to go ahead and proceed with this vaccine program?
Right. So exactly as you say, that we're going to be looking at several things over the summer that are going to help us determine what we do and whether or not we go forward with an immunization program. What we're doing now is all about the vaccine, and then the information we gain from clinical studies and from an understanding of both the virus and the pattern of illness or the epidemiology in the Southern Hemisphere will help us determine what we do forward.
And how do you grow the vaccine? Is it still done in eggs? Do you inject it into eggs and have it grow that way, or?
Most companies, and particularly the companies that have products in the United States, are still grown in eggs. So a live virus is injected in an egg, it grows in that egg, and then it's subsequently, for most of the vaccines, is then inactivated, and that's the vaccine that's given as an injection.
Isn't it fascinating that we can, you know, make a response to a vaccine by growing the vaccine itself and then injecting people with it? I mean, really, I find that fascinating, and I think it's incredible work, and I know that you had some difficulty doing that for the avian flu, and yet there was a process put in place that made, you know, that was really revolutionary to grow that virus.
That's right. So as you said, that the first objective is to be able to take a virus from a person and then to be able to transform it so that you can have it into something you can give for vaccine manufacturing, but yet to be able to have enough of it to make a vaccine.
Yeah.
And that was one of the issues with the bird flu virus, because it was an avian virus, it had difficulty growing in the eggs.
Yeah, and so did you learn anything from that process that would help you with the swine flu?
We learned a lot of things in that process, and I think we're fortunate to have made those investments in the science to help us along. One of the things that we're looking at now is to try to determine what a dose might be. We learned in the bird flu situation that vaccine was not as immunogenic as we would have liked, and that what that meant was that we needed to have a much higher dose than we would have otherwise wanted. And the higher the dose, that means the less doses per person. So we're working now with the companies and some of the scientists on trying to determine what a dose might be to be able to have as many doses for as many people as soon as possible.
Well, then let's say the worst case happens and next fall the Health and Human Services in conjunction, I guess, with CDC would say, you know what, we need to start this vaccine program. How long would it take industry to create the required number of doses?
Well, one of the things we've already begun. Again, you've mentioned before the importance of time, and this is all about time. And so in addition to the clinical studies we've just talked about, the manufacturers are now beginning to develop the key ingredients of a vaccine now. And so that down the road, we'll be able to have lots of those ingredients that we'll be able to then blend into a final vaccine product should we need it. So the starting point is actually now, not in the fall. The decision to use it is later, but the decision to start it is now.
And, you know, Dr. Gellin, there's going to be a regular flu that comes around in the fall and the winter. How would that work? I mean, would you have two distinct vaccines, or do you blend them together, or is that possible?
Well, you know, while it's certainly attractive to think about blending all the components for flu into a single vaccine, because of the timing of the completion of the seasonal vaccine now, and now the development of this new H1 vaccine that's just beginning now, it's really not possible to do that. So the companies are now completing their work on the vaccine that'll be available in the fall, and when we looked at that situation of potentially blending them together, we realized that we might greatly delay the delivery of seasonal flu vaccine. We've also been sensitive to the not interfering with the supply of seasonal vaccine in the fall as well. So in that sense, that's the one advantage we have of time, is that this is a time of year when the manufacturers are just finishing up their work for next season's vaccine and now have space available in their facilities to start working on this H1N1 vaccine.
So if the H1N1 comes around again, then people would need to get two vaccines, shots.
That's the current thinking, is that should there be an immunization program for the H1N1, that would be a separate vaccine from a seasonal vaccine.